From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A standoff between those calling themselves protectors of Mauna Kea and advocates of a major telescope project continues in Hawaii. Astronomers have planned a massive 30-meter telescope, or TMT, to sit atop the summit of Mauna Kea, one of the two big mountains on Hawaii's Big Island. Already, that summit is home to a number of telescopes in partnership with the University of Hawaii. But Hawaiians, who consider Mauna Kea to be one of the most sacred places in the world, have opposed this latest telescope project. We turn now to Kealoha Pishoda. She is a practitioner of traditional and customary cultural and religious practices relating to Mauna Kea. She worked at the observatories there for more than 12 years. She's also the president of Mauna Kea Anaina Hu, which is the group that has brought multiple legal challenges against the TMT. Welcome to the program, Kealoha.
Oh, welcome. I'm so happy to be here. I feel honored. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. And I want to also mention that this is a personal issue to me. I used to be an astronomy student at UH, have used the telescopes on Mauna Kea in another life in the late 90s, before my own political awakening. And I've very much been in touch with and paid attention to these struggles around the use of Mauna Kea. So this fight again over the TMT, this latest telescope project, has been going on for years. What is the can you explain the latest standoff? Because there have been blockades at the near the summit before. What prompted this latest chapter?
Well, what really prompted it was basically the state completing the permitting process by giving them a note. They filed for a notice of intent to construct. So that's what really started it. Once that happened, we had to basically move into action both legally and, you know, on the ground. And that's what happened.
The state approved it in spite of the legal challenges. What is the status of the legal challenges?
No, here's what happened. I mean, and I just have to be really frank about it. We have been in hearings since about 2009. We finally made it up to the Supreme Court of Hawaii. The Supreme Court pretty much ruled very quickly, which gave us pause, feeling as though we hadn't really been heard again. The Supreme Court's decision was really sad in that it's basically kind of the rape logic, you know, because the mountain was, you know, has been destroyed. This won't add much destruction. It's equivalent to saying because the woman was raped, if she's raped again, it won't really hurt anything.
Wow.
And, you know, this is about raping Mother Earth. This movement is really about our sacred sites and the indigenous peoples of the world, which are joining us as we have joined others to stand for Mother Earth. Because this really is about Mother Earth. It's really not about even astronomy. It's never been about astronomy. We think astronomy is a noble endeavor, but not at the expense of everything else. Yeah.
So can you explain the significance of Mauna Kea for our audience, our non-Hawaiian audience, who, you know, just to give a context for why it's such a sacred space?
Sure. Basically, for us, it is our origin place. It's where we believe all of man came from. It is the home of our deities, from creator to all of the gods and goddesses. It's also, that's where they dwell and where they enter from the heavens, the heavenly realms. It's also a burial ground of our most significant and revered ancestors, including like navigators that discovered Hawaii thousands of years ago.
So it's a burial ground as well.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And it's also a ceremonial landscape. That means that we do ritual relating to the precession of the equinoxes, you know, over the 26,000 year cycle. It's believed that we brought that practice, it's Proto-Polynesia, we brought it to Hawaii as well. So it's significant, and Mauna Kea is significant to all of Polynesia, not just across the archipelago, but Mauna Kea also sets the standard for all of the heiaus around the state. Not the state, but the archipelago of Hawaii.
Right.
And then even out into the Pacific. So that's why the Pacific peoples come also, because they recognize Hawaii as well. I mean, Mauna Kea as well.
I want to play a short video of a hula, a ceremonial hula that was performed over this past week during the blockade of the road going up to the summit as part of the activism, as part of the gathering that has taken place there. And this is something that has just been, this part of the latest blockade, I should say. This isn't the first time that this road, as we mentioned, has been blockaded. And those are the sounds of a hula ceremony being performed as part of the blockade of the road going up to the summit of Mauna Kea. It's extremely windy up there, of course, and you can hear the wind, and a pretty large group of dozens of people are performing this hula. Ke aloha, can you explain for us the sort of demographic of people that has come to the summit, to this road that goes to the summit? Who are the folks that have gathered?
Well, you know, we have a lot of our own people, Hawaiian people, Kanaka Maoli people. We have supporters, and that have been supporting us for a long, long time. And they provide all kinds of support for us as well. And then we have our brothers and sisters, Indigenous brothers and sisters from Mokuhonu, Native Americans, First Nation peoples, from even Canada as well, and Aotearoa, Tahiti. I think the Tahitians come today. Tongans from Tonga, Kingdom of Tonga sent a delegation, and Samoa. So all throughout the Pacific, we're having peoples come as well. And
speaking of Samoa, the Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, visited this week as well. He's half Samoan, and he grew up in Hawaii.
Yes, and you know, I missed it. Oh. I was working. We were doing legal stuff. So it was wonderful that he got to go and see the people, and really happy about that as
right.
well.
Right, and give a very and strong message of solidarity. Ah, Jason Momoa as well. Oh, I missed getting that
course.
News report. Okay.
Yes, and by the way, I just want to give him some acknowledgement, because he coined our first phrase, "We are Mauna Kea." And so what he sent out is, "We are still Mauna Kea," because we are still Mauna Kea. And ultimately, you know, in the conversations about that, we are the land, and the land are the people. So what we do to the land, we do to ourselves. You know, that's the inherent philosophy of most Indigenous people. But, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, people hear us speaking about the Indigenous movement and the First Nation peoples, and we are definitely First Nation peoples. But I also want to say that this movement is bigger than that, because everyone is Indigenous to somewhere. And what we want to say overall is that this is a movement, an uprising of the people of the world, basically to take a stand for the earth. And even, you know, we went to Gordon Moore Foundation, and we spoke with the president of Gordon Moore Foundation, and we asked him to join with us to do better. We need science to do better. We need science to evolve so that it can take in the Indigenous wisdom and the Indigenous knowledge. We have our own science, you know, and this is about us, you know, coming together and saying, no matter if you're on the Western science side or the Native science side, we both agree that the earth is in danger. And that's what we're really speaking about. And we've shared our mountain since 1968. They have a world-class astronomy center on the summit. And we've asked them simply, enough is enough.
And you yourself have worked at the observatories for 12 years. Can you tell me a little bit
I
about that?
did. I did. I was a system, well, big name, system telescope system specialist, which is just a big word, basically being the operator.
The
So
telescope
we use,
operator, the TO, as astronomers
yes,
call
the
them, yeah.
TO. Yes. So we basically set all the observing systems up, and then we help them collect their data. And I loved my work. I descend from navigators and star people in my culture, so it seemed like a perfect fit. However, when human things start to dominate the sacred landscape, then we have a problem, and we're needing balance. And that's really what we're doing here, is we're calling for balance, because the TMT has alternatives, but we don't.
So there are other sites, and this is a big part of the opposition, is that there are other potential sites for this telescope. One of the reasons why there is a why astronomers have built telescopes on the summit of Mauna Kea is because it's above the cloud cover, so it provides clear skies. There are other parts of the world with clear skies atop other mountains that are not considered sacred to indigenous communities, right?
Right. And I think even in Chile, for example, it has really good seeing there, and they could have gone there or invested in the world's largest telescope, the extremely large telescope, the EELT, which is currently being built. But there's this kind of Western competitive, sort of idea that we want our own. But we're in dire situation with our Earth, and they really do need to do better, hands down.
Are activists like yourself wanting Mauna Kea to be completely vacated of telescopes, or do you just want to draw the line saying it stops here?
We're drawing the line. We're not saying we want everything taken down. There are some people who are so fed up that they're like, "Hey, I've had enough. I don't even want to have anything to do with it." But the kind of middle ground is their lease is up in 2033.
The lease
That's
for
when,
the summit? Oh, wow.
yes. And this is significant for this issue also, because they, I want to get to this point if I can. They don't have an extended lease. So if they were, imagine if they were to construct it, they would only have 7 years observing time on it. So you can't put the cart before the horse like that. You have to get the lease before you and secure that. Just like they don't have the full funding. And that's, by the way, one of our litigations, right, is that they have not, they failed to put up the bond, the security bond, which is a mechanism to protect the people of Hawaii. So if they, so there, this project is risky financially, since they don't have the full amount, they don't have the lease, they need to put up the
So it's like
bond
when a
in the
city
full
hosts the
amount.
Olympics.
Right. Yes. And in Hawaii, we've had a lot of problems with, projects that have gone, have gotten all the rubber stamps from all the politicians, but they didn't work out the funding. And now the people of Hawaii are holding the bill. And at a minimum, they need to show their real commitment to protect the people of Hawaii. And we don't want it. It's flat out, we just don't want it.
I want to play another video for our audience of an activist named Kumu Hina, who really put it in very interesting terms. She's addressing another group, a group of activists that she was with after they blocked the H1 freeway in Hawaii as part of their activism and opposition to the 30-meter telescope on the summit of Mauna Kea.
Do not get comfortable. Today was just a taste of what our people will do. The time is done for being devalued. These islands make a whole lot of money off of our aloha. They capitalize and commercialize us till even the skinniest of the cows come crawling back home. It is not up to any foreigner to determine who and what we are about. It is not up to foreigners. Bless their heart. We all have mixed ethnicities nowadays. But it is not up to the people who are not Kanaka to determine what we do, why we do, how we do, and where.
And that is Kumu Hina, a Native Hawaiian activist. She's a teacher. She's a cultural icon, giving a great speech to a group of activists after the blockading of the H1 freeway. One of the things that you referred to, Ke Aloha, was how foreigners have taken advantage of Hawaii. And of course, you know, tourism has been one of Hawaii's biggest, if not the biggest, industry. And the broader movement for sovereignty really addresses that as well, and really wants Hawaii to return to its own autonomy and to break away from the United States. There's been a lot of struggle around the statehood issue of Hawaii as well. And I'm wondering if that is the backdrop for this struggle around Mauna Kea too.
Well, I think absolutely. I would say that Mauna Kea is really about our religious freedom, our right to. My auntie used to say, we have a right to practice our religion in the environment of our belief, and Mauna Kea is that environment. So that even under American occupation, the First Amendment it is supreme, you know, the right to have a relationship with the God of your choosing or the spirituality of your choosing, and then also having the access. So that's first. But second, and what is a part of the greater movement in question, is that our right to self-determination is defined by international law. You know, there's a whole range of ideas about what kind of autonomy or what kind of independence or what kind of sovereignty, but it's all within the right to self-determination as defined by the United Nations, and under the UNDRIP, you know, the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which we participated in helping to draft some of that language. Hawaii has, yeah, and the delegation, myself included, have been a part of drafting that language. And it's very important because America didn't acquire Hawaii in a proper way and never did. In the process, what is current law now is that the Admissions Act of Hawaii specifically states that all land in Hawaii shall be held in trust for the betterment of the condition of Native Hawaiians and the general public. That's the premise in which America absorbed Hawaii into its so-called union. But really, Hawaii is still a kingdom, and we still have treaties with the United States as a kingdom. So the United States is violating those treaties,
as it has violated so many treaties with the Native population here on the mainland. And I'm wondering also if you see this struggle around Mauna Kea within the broader struggles around the world, but particularly in North America, the Standing Rock protests, the First Nations activism against pipelines in Canada, that are, you know, maybe the Mauna Kea struggle isn't specifically over fossil fuel extraction or infrastructure, but the building of a telescope is a big industrial undertaking.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It absolutely is that. It's the uprising of the peoples of the earth to, you know, saying that corporate greed and the corporate culture, which is profit, may not take precedence over all life. The TMT board had voted, and their spokesperson came out and said basically that they're not changing. Hawaii is their best location, and they're still going to go. So essentially what they're saying to us is that our life and putting our life in danger with riot police and police and all this stuff, are National Guard, even maybe. The governor has said he's not above that. You know, it's all in their name. They're willing to do it. So what kind of a thing is that? I don't even know how to
accept
that.
So let's talk about the governor. Governor David Ige, I understand, visited the protest a few days ago. And I understand that he's sort of stepping away from the conflict, which doesn't quite make sense given that he's the governor of the state where this big fight is playing out.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me it's just a bunch of word salad. He's basically saying he's going to give it to the mayor of Hawaii Island, Mayor Kim, but Mayor Kim is saying, I don't have any jurisdiction, because he doesn't. Mauna Kea is really ceded lands, kingdom lands, but the state is the overseer of it. And so it's just kind of confusion. I think they're confused, but they're really yielding. All of this is being done. Gordon and Betty Moore and the TMT board could end this today just by simply saying, we're going to choose the Canary Islands. And I'm not necessarily pushing it there. I'm just saying they could make better decisions. We would actually like them to join with us to raise the standard of aloha, to do better, and actually work with us to help. We can tell them all kinds of ways for that kind of money to help the people and the land of Mother Earth. Like, they could provide probably clean water to most people with that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? They need to do better.
I mean, it reminds me of the recent story about India, going to the moon, the mission to the moon. You know, one of the world's poorest countries pouring all of these resources to send a product to the moon. When it could spend, even a fraction of that money on helping the poor people of that country. So have any of the folks involved in the TMT ever come to groups like yours to say, let's try to work together? Could we do anything around this project that would satisfy you, that could make it more palatable to you? Or have they basically, or has that not been something that you want to accept?
No, let me, that's a big canard. I'd like to address it, because yes, they continue to say, we've tried to reach out, we've tried to have conversations, we've tried to, come to an agreement. But the truth of the matter is even the statement from the TMT spokesman, it didn't change anything, because all it did was admit now that they don't care, because they've been painting this rosy picture that we're the ones who are unreasonable. But the point is they've never put no TMT as an option on the table. And, they don't really have, they're stuck, because if they don't put that on the table, there's no way we're going to have anything to talk about. The governor and the mayor and TMT have nothing to offer the protectors, because what are they really offering? It's basically their way or the highway. And that's been that way for decades now. And we've been in court, we've been in all these levels of attempts to restore justice and balance to Hawaii. And pretty much the state is kind of compromised on all levels, because they're submitting to the corporate culture.
How long will the, I say protesters, but they want to call themselves protectors, stay where they are right now, blocking the road leading up to the summit? As far as you know, is the plan to stay there for as long as it takes?
Oh, yeah. There's no question. There are waves and waves of people prepared to do what they have to do. We will never aggress. We will always maintain our position of kapu aloha. But that was the whole purpose behind Gandhi, the father of nonviolent resistance, was to demonstrate. It will show their violence too. And that's what is unfortunate. And I think actually many of the police officers and the docare and the sheriffs are really not wanting to do that, because I think they see that we are not aggressive. I mean, when all the riot police came up and did that big stand while they were arresting our kupuna, right in the middle of that, it could have caused so much, grief and anxiety and freak out, right? But ultimately, one thing I noticed, they had all the riot gear, from the helmets to the face masks to
And by the way, I should just mention to our audience, kupuna is elders. There are a lot of elders, Hawaiian elders, at the blockade. Yeah.
Yes, in fact, they're the front line. Yeah, they're the front line. They asked us to be the front line. Many of us didn't really want them to be the front line, because elders are revered wisdom keepers, and we don't want them hurt. But nevertheless, what I was saying was I did see the riot police there with batons and all of those things. But the one thing they were lacking was shields. And you know why? It's because they know that we have no weapons and we are in a position of nonviolence. So they're the aggressors, you know, they're the ones with the guns. So this is where my deep, deep sadness comes, that the TMT, their heart seems very hardened, because it's basically sending a message to all of us that they're willing to hurt us to get their legacy. And what is that legacy? They can have a bad legacy as well.
Well, Ke Aloha, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to keep our eye on this story and continue to cover it as it plays out. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. We're honored to be here. Thank you. Aloha. Thank you.
Aloha. Ke Aloha Pishoda is a practitioner of traditional and customary cultural and religious practices relating to Mauna Kea in Hawaii. She worked at the observatories for more than 12 years. She's also the president of Mauna Kea Anaina Hu, the group that has brought multiple legal challenges to the TMT, the 30-meter telescope. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.